Good morning. Welcome. Thank you for coming to this session this morning. Glad to receive you all, and I look forward to a wonderful time together. Today the butterflies are not as many as they were yesterday. So I happened to sleep last night, and it was my first good night's sleep in some days. But we'll share a bit about, or go into details about what we do in Uganda, and after we'll take a few questions. So the session is 10 years of clinics growth, village health teams, and sustainability. I want to begin with this slide. I didn't have it originally, but I remember the saying this morning that your doctrine is your direction. The way you perceive life, the way you perceive God, the way you perceive society will determine how you approach missions and why you do what you do. And so I thought it's important to share why first, because the how and the what is an individual journey. The how and the what is an individual journey. So this is my why, or where I come from. This is our why. We see the church as Christ's body on earth. His believers are his church around the world, wherever they are, in whatever form they are worshiping him, as they are worshiping Christ Jesus, the Son of God. They are his body, and his body touches the world. The church is the body of Christ. They are the Christ. The body of Christ, are the Christ that the world sees. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so the church is touching family. The church is in media, in business, in religion, in arts and entertainment, in government, politics and the law, in education, in healthcare. God has his people, you and I, in all these places. And so as a health worker, I see myself in that little circle saying education and health. And I see I am the church in that place. And I see and I ask God, help me to be salt and light in this place. My pastor will not come to be salt and light in a hospital. He'll not be allowed there. He has to get licenses and all kinds of things. He'll never be allowed there. He's been asked by God to use the platform of church. And God has gifted me and graced me to be in healthcare. And all of us are somewhere. And we are the body of Christ in those places. That is how we begin to define missions and purpose in life. That our identity in Christ will be expressed through the giftings, the graces, the opportunities. Even just being a father. I read something on the wall yesterday. If you want to change the world, go home and be with your family. I read that on the wall in one of the homes we visited. And it's, again, the body of Christ is you and I, wherever we are, just being followers of Christ. And the ministry I work with, Africa Renew Ministries, that owns this clinic is in Uganda, and we work in 28 locations in this country. Uganda is in East Africa, somewhere just in the middle of Africa, with a little bit of Africa, the grasslands, the mountains, the lakes, the source of the Nile, and 40 plus different languages spoken in this country. What do we do and how do we do it? I shared a little bit about this yesterday, but when we reach a community, the first step is we enter. We don't assume because we have read about them, looked at the documents, the district development plan or something, that we know this community. So we do entry into a community. That community can be a corporation. That community can be a village. That community can be a district. That community can be Uganda. However you choose to define a community, go and introduce who you are, get to know the people, do a community walk. Listen. In healthcare, we visit the local health officers. Some of them are in the private care, some of them are in public care. And then as we do this work, we identify together with this community what is happening. After that, we do a demonstration. We do something together with this community. The next stage is, and this may be different, for some villages, the stage between 1 and 2 can be a year. In another village or another community, stage 1, 2, and 3 can happen in 1 day. It's all different. Just God is already at work in these villages. What we find is what we get along with. And then finally, we do the sustenance. I will show you this story in pictures. So I just wanted to show you that our process is to try to walk alongside these people, but with the end in mind that we will not always be there. And God has called us to walk alongside them, strengthen what they have. We used to do what we are calling do a SWOT of the village: strength, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. But then we change it to asset-based evaluation. What do they have? And they do have a lot in these communities. You know, one of the things we have learned, that there's no place in the world where there's no healthcare. It's always just different or broken, but there's something. So we try to find that something. See, how do we work with it? Or how do we cause these people to work together to make it better? That is Wayne's Medical Center that we've been talking about, where I work since 2005. That is me in a consultation room. This clinic has grown. When we say sustainability today, this picture just shows you we began in 2005, but all we had was literally almost a doctor with a microscope, stethoscope around his neck, and a pen and paper and some drugs. But over the years, we continued adding based on the community's ability to sustain. Community health visits, medical missions, an ultrasound scan came in 2008. Dental services began in 2008, therapeutic massage. Somebody was trained and joined us because we couldn't afford the trained people already at the time. So somebody was trained and joined us. A gynecologist began to visit in 2013. We began family planning services based on the profession we now had. Major surgeries came in, blood transfusion. So over the years, we did not start up with everything. But as we continued to serve the community and the community responded, we began with the basic needs of the community. The most important condition that we should be able to manage in a rural hospital in Uganda is malaria. That slide is from 2017. As I speak today, we have chemistry and liver function tests and all those kind of things in our laboratory. But the king of them all is still malaria. Blood slide for malaria. Malaria still kills 325 people a day in Uganda. HIV/AIDS, 48 people. So it just shows you how big this condition malaria is. So in our part of the world, basic is important. Basic is important. If we focus on that simple basic, we are doing a great job. Just a picture of the finances of Wayne's Medical Center. This is what it's like today. It didn't start out like this. I would say the gross turnover is about $400,000. That's what it takes to run Wayne's Medical Center. All the drugs, the staff, the medicines, everything in 1 year is $400,000. I know that might be one doctor's pay in the medical district, but it's okay. This is where we are at. And we thank God for what we are able to do. The total number of patients is 22,000. This also just tells you we are predominantly cash-based society. So 70% of our patients are cash. When you talk about healthcare in Uganda, don't think too much about insurance. It's not yet there. Only 2% of our population has any form of insurance. So that's our context. On this slide, I'll just say we spend about 33% of our gross income on 33% is cash and invoiced is 25%. If you saw the slide before, it will show you that only 30% of our patients are invoiced. That is like they come from companies, they're insurance, they have insurance. They're like our middle class in Uganda. But they are, because they are priced according to their ability to pay, they make a significant contribution of 25% of our income. Whereas CAS patients, who are 70% of the numbers we see, they account for 33%. So there's a little bit, I'll be honest, of Robin Hood here, that those who are able to pay the services, those who are not, we adjust to be available to them. And that's the big challenge of mission hospitals. How do you keep mission going? How do you remain available to the least of these? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water to drink. How do you remain open to that, those people in our communities, and be on mission with them, for them, by God's grace, and stay open? So it's a struggle that we go through, but we face it as we go. Just shows you our expenses. Our partner-funded projects, about 26%. Staff costs, about 36% of our expenses. Why do we do medical missions? Why do we go out? Now, medical missions, for me, it probably might mean traveling, leaving your community to go. For me, it is right in my community. And it's also leaving that nice office at the medical center to walk down to the community 100 meters away, where there's suffering and there is pain and there's difficulty. So I just need to get away from that nice desk and walk 300, 400 meters away, and I'm on mission. But we know that missions save lives. We've been to communities, and even if I'm there for 6 hours, I land on a child whose mother is covering them with a blanket to break the fever. Now, sometimes they are lucky. The fever is from flu, right? A flu will go on its own. But another time, that fever is not flu. It's malaria. 3 days, no treatment, you lose the child. So I walk into this community and say, yes, they've covered the child, break the fever. I'm like, hey, no. Let's test for malaria. We'll take care of this. It saves life, even if it is one soul. It empowers people through health education. The gospel is preached. The local church, the impact of the local church. You come alongside the local church. You can choose to say medical mission, but you can also say medical work. It's also okay. Medical work is also good. God is also in it. But when we use the word mission, I think we are thinking about the Great Commission of Christ. And that Great Commission involves the local church. That Christ came for us individually, but Christ also wants us in communities of faith. And so the impact as we do this work is to think about how these souls that are saved, or this person is encouraged, continues to grow in a community of faith. When we do medical missions, we're thinking to increase the health-seeking behavior. We have learned that by giving this person their first opportunity to do a blood pressure check and tell them, hey, you need medicine. You need to take care of this. I'll give you an example. I walk into this village. They have health workers in the community. They probably have a private health provider 5 miles away. They can somehow get there. But they have this struggle in them that this person is making money. Are you with me? So they go take the first 2 doses and they give up. There's this battle within an individual's life. This person is getting rich. So they give up. Then they come on a medical mission because it is free. And I check them and I say, you know what? This could be the difference between seeing your grandchildren and leaving a young family. It is important to you. And this person is revived. to pay attention to this blood pressure. It's important to do medical missions. It's important to go out as much as is possible. Medical missions provide a baseline survey for future work. Medical mission is not an end in itself. The goal is not what you have done, but how what you have done continues. And I want to tell you, and many of people who come from this country and come, they don't know this. And I would like to share this, that as you do the medical mission, your ears and eyes are open to the trends and the situations in that village. And so it's important after the medical mission to sit and debrief with the local health workers. What did you see? What did you hear? What disease patterns? What is the attitude of the people to the local clinic? And come alongside this clinic and say, you know what? This place, this thing needs improvement, this care, this could benefit you better. So our eyes are open because this is the first opportunity. A whole village is coming together around a medical camp for us to do an immediate survey. That survey helps the local church. What's happening in your community? You know, I remember in one of the missions, one of the ladies was particularly interested in if the husband and wife were talking. That's the question she would ask. So I'm a doctor seeing the patient, and once I've done what I'm done, she'd ask, do you have conversations with your husband? And it's amazing the things that came out and the release that happened and prayers and counseling that went on with her on the medical mission. God has intentions and plans. When we go out on medical missions, let our eyes and ears be open. God, why am I here? What can I do? Whom are you sending or bringing to me? Medical missions are designed to augment long-term engagement strategy. We challenge our local pastors and the people we work with to think, how will this mission or this work we are doing help you? And sometimes they don't have answers. We still come alongside them. When I say rural community, this is what I mean. This is what I mean. When we talk about going out there and the needs are basic, this is what we mean. In one community, this was the water source for both animals and humans. These ladies are not fetching water to go and water the plants. It is to go and run their family. Okay, I think this is evidence I was there. As a result of this medical mission, you know, when we went to that village, the men surrounded us. They knew where the doctors have come. And we had some white people amongst us. And they said, hey, why are our children dying? As we did a walk through the community, we saw that water source. And long story short, this is the water well that came into that community. And this is water being fetched. And we thank God for that. Praise God. Praise God. So a medical mission did not result in a hospital it resulted in a water well. This is a child I'm seeing in a clinic. This is a lady coming for antenatal care for the first time. This is probably her fourth or fifth child, but it's her first time to see health workers. This is an evangelist speaking to the community while they are waiting to be seen. You know, this was about 8 a.m. in the morning. We had just arrived for the camp and we find this crowd and we're worried. Whoa, how will we handle these numbers? But God has his plan and God has his people. It's not only about what we can give, but working with the local community, what will we do together for these people gathered? Okay, and we can continue after this. This is a friend's family. This gentleman brings his family together with us on missions, and we design how they get engaged. Their older brother is not in this picture, but he's now in medical school here in the USA. But he said coming as a teenager. In every medical mission, there's a prayer clinic. This is a clinic that we've put up. In every medical mission you do, there's somebody whose life depends on it. this young man, if we didn't come, was going to pass on. But all we had to do is give an anti-malaria. This child changed my life. Many times we think it's what we are going to do, but God has you in mind when you go on mission. It's you who is the mission field. So I go into this community grumbling about many things in my personal life. I have, you know, I'm, oh God, this, what about this, what about this? And I sit down to see this girl. That's my consultation room. It was in Soroti. And she tells me in this shy way, she's in like P7, is like maybe middle school, sixth grade or something like that. And she was going to do her final exams, but she says, Doctor, I'm pregnant. She's 13 years old. She says, I also have these on and off fevers. So we test her and she also had HIV/AIDS. 13 years old. I use this picture and I keep going about it to tell Martin to stop complaining. Stop complaining. There's a 13-year-old in a community that just being pregnant alone at 13, she's in trouble with her family. But she was also HIV positive. So even me in Uganda, Carol, you will know this gentleman, Dennis, Karen, Bob. This is dental health education happening. This is Dr. Carol teaching another group about antenatal care. This is my favorite picture in the local community that I talked about, that I walked to, and the things we saw and the things we did in that community. This is health education, house to house. There are different models. Sometimes people call people to the market area and give out these nets. But thank God for the church. The church has people who are volunteers who want to serve in their community. So we work along, we tap into that and distribute the nets through the local church to reach the community and demonstrate how it works. And put the net in our own noses and say, hey, there's no chemical in here that some laboratory is trying to get at you. And demystify the fears and also share the gospel. Health education without PowerPoint. We are creative there. This is a fishing village. That's another consultation room, right? This is out there in the different churches that host us. So we took, this is a church in southwestern Uganda, Kachungwa. And so those you see are clinics. Just paint a picture of what mission is like. This is a different church in Rukunjiri. And we had an eye team come over and do eye checkups. And that is dental, mobile dental chair, and mostly extractions. You know, I can't explain what the alternative is for these communities, for some of these communities. Right there is a clinic, but it's also a student, a nursing student, just working alongside us. There's a place for students. There's a place for just coming to see how healthcare, global healthcare, looks like in a remote setting. We also have the hospitals and the center, but in a remote setting, what would it look like? This is a lady learning to read, reading again with eyeglasses, and she's reading a scripture. This is a child receiving immunization for the first time at 3 years old. It's happening in a medical mission. It is worth every effort. Vitamin A supplementation. That's a young lady who was just barely entered nursing school. I talked about in every community, we select leaders and we invite them to the medical center. This is particularly for Gaba, where I am located. And we train these people, and these ladies become known as doctors. The word Mosao in my part of the country is the word for doctor, but it can mean nurse, dentist, hospital administrator. They are all doctor. As long as you know something about healthcare, you can fix me. And so these ladies become resources in their own communities. This is 2017, that 12 years late of working in this community, they are still broken people. There are parts of this community that have paved their neighborhoods. There are parts that have become better. But as families break down in the city and families have nowhere to go, they go further into the swamp. So the work of missions continues. And for me, it means to get out of my desk again and go back and see what's happening. You know, I like this picture because 10 years later, the women we trained are training others. So the lady in there is one of those women from the community training her colleagues. And when we go back and visit these homes, I took this picture and said, God, we thank you. You know, malaria, mosquito nets are known to reduce malaria by 85%. In some parts of Uganda, the statistics show, wow, my time is short. The patients increasing and over the years, okay, medical missions. In some medical camps, we try to track what's happening and who is coming to Christ. It depends on the community. Different communities respond differently. Some are already strong in their faith and you don't want to ruffle feathers, so you share Christ and let, you know, multiple churches coming together. In some, there's one church in the community and the pastor gives you a report, praise the Lord. Either way, the gospel is preached. Those are the four clinics we have established. This just shows you what I was saying, that as we engaged the community responded and there was growth and has been growth through the years. We are always trying to chase expenses. So will we ever be 100%? No, healthcare is not like that. Healthcare is not like, okay, we are done, now we are profitable. That's not our objective. Our objective is missions, and there will always be needs. And like Jesus said, the poor will always be amongst us. Do not grow weary in doing good. I've shared all this. The challenges of mission hospitals. Overwhelming community needs. Philosophy of indigent care versus sustainability. How shall we take care of the poor? How shall we be sustainable? That's a wrestling that is always happening. The loss of zeal, the desire to keep fighting. You know, how do you keep that refreshed and keep it in our minds? Those are the challenges of hospital. How do you retain good doctors? We're not going to provide poor care because we're a mission hospital. How do we retain a good service? How do we serve the Lord with excellence? It's a big challenge. How do we provide services that the community can support? Any doctor would love to have a CT scan, but you don't have a technician to keep it going in that city. I finished medical school and I had not seen one. My medical school is about in the top 10 in Africa. Identify and defend the basics. What can you do well and do that part well, even as you are open to what God may do? Human resources. When we hire people, we hire partners. We invite the professionals that God has raised to partner with us, and we treat them that way. Many times we can't afford, but whenever you can, pay well. Within the market rate. Of course, there's a danger of creating something you can't sustain. So we have to balance what are we able to do and keep even when a donor pulls out. From where I come from, we know something called whimsicals. The donor is happy with you, it's going well. The donor is spooked, the plug is pulled, you bottom out. So we try from our side, and as you work with people, to keep a certain bottom line. And no, let's guard this sanity so that in a rainy day, on a good day and a windfall, we don't go crazy. And in a downfall, we don't go crazy. We just keep a certain steady state. And should there be ability to improve, we do that with that bottom line, that ground, we keep an eye on it. Equipment and facility. Is there technical support in town? Diagnostics always improve outcomes and attract clientele. I want to say it's easier to build the clinics. The hardest part is keeping them open. And lastly, location. We've built four clinics. But we soon learned that I'm also a minister in the church. I'm a pastor in the church. And the old model was to build the church, the clinic, the school, you know, all in the same place. The gospel is being preached. But with the first slide I showed you, the gospel is not the people coming to us. It is us in society. Once our eyes were opened to this reality, we began to locate the hospitals where the crossroads of the people are. Because at the crossroads, there's increased access. At the crossroads, there's a future of sustainability. At the crossroads, the mission is preached. Location matters. Actually, we began to ask ourselves, if I was a businessman starting a clinic, where would I put it? That became part of our thinking process. Not ultimately decision, but thinking process. I've shared about community health in the pictures, but working with local partners, listening to them, supporting them, hearing their voice, working alongside them, relationship. I will grab something from you if I think tomorrow you will not be with me. But if I know you're with me tomorrow, I will relate with you differently. We'll walk the journey. Our relationship will not be based on your short-term interest, but in our long-term partnership. I have seen that change outcomes in decision-making. I have shared about finance. I have a sign going up that I have 3 minutes. So I have to. All right. I have shared about this. Create a measure of sustainability. What do you want to sustain? You know, let me just share this story with you. There was a school, actually the school where you saw the water well. Put a school in, and as partners, we know that we're not going to be able to continue financing this thing, especially given our limited resources. And so there was this idea, you know what? Give these people pigs. The people in the community are able to, there's a market for pigs. So we took these pigs and gave them to the school. Later, we had complaints from parents that the teachers are not teaching, they're taking care of pigs. So what do we want to sustain? Is it sustaining the preaching of the gospel? Is it sustaining the teacher in the classroom? Is it keeping the school going? Sustainability is a word people just throw out there. But what exactly are you trying to sustain? What is Christ's prescription for sustainability? What is the prescription for sustaining a school? Let us be discerning what God is calling us. And it may be that you're called to sustain a school, and that's fine. But let it be clear when that word is used. That's our dream as Wells Medical Center going forwards. Right now we have Block B, and we keep dreaming about a future. That's my family. I thank God for these boys and Rosette, who is here with me. And that's the staff of Wells Medical Center. They do all the work and I get all the credit. So praise God. But these are the people who are prayerful people, everyday people, just serving God. Let's do some questions. Someone is. You want to give him a.
Percent. Okay. What percent of the community is Christian?
Uganda generally is about 88%, all types of Christian denominations and groups, and 12% Muslim. within the whole family of 88%, yes, it's I'm just going by a census number.
I am from just neighboring. I'm from Kenya, across the lake. Entebbe, if you take a boat, you come to Mfangano Island, where I live and work. I have come just for this. And you are the most realistic person you have taught me. I can sit and listen to you the whole night. I am not a medic. Started out as a Bible translator and translated the Bible in my community language. Worked with children in education. Now I am going to health. I've benefited from short-term missions. We feel it is time to go into long-term presence of a clinic on the island. And the challenges out there from listening to you yesterday and the other speakers, how to keep these clinics opened, how to be sustainable, how to generate local income, has immensely blessed me. God bless you.
Thank you. Again, I am also from Ghana, and I want to ask another question. Actually, it's not a question, it's a small contribution here. When our first president, Kwame Nkrumah, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, came to school here in Nebraska and had a PhD over there, then went to Oxford University and got a second PhD, and then in 1957, helped Ghana to become the first country in Africa to be independent. There's one thing he told all the Africans, that the independence of Ghana is meaningless unless it is linked with the total liberation of all of Africa. I'm looking at the pictures over here, and it's unbelievable what the African countries are going through. And the reason is Christ. That is the bottom line. But the other reason is that the African countries need to come together. We need to form the United States of Africa as soon as possible so we can harness all our resources to build Africa. Now, I'm looking at Africa in terms of the leaders. How much corruption? I'm looking at the pictures here. Presidents have millions of dollars in Swiss banks when people don't have water to drink. Our leaders in churches, ministers have big mansions in Africa when the people in the church are poor. These are the issues that is facing Africa today. And I just want to make sure that Africans can think back and go back to what Dr. Kwame Nkrumah said. We need to come together. We need to form the United States of Africa. We need to harness all our resources together so we can then begin to invest in the young ones that are coming up. A new generation of Africans are coming up, and Ghana is taking the lead. We believe within the next 5 years, we should form the United States of West Africa. Thank you.
Thank you. You are very interesting. I've been to Uganda. I work with Pastor Ruth, with Women's Intercessors, Widows Ministry, and I love Uganda. But what I wanted to say is, how much of this, because I have a dream, we already started building, how much of your country do they participate to help with the resources, and how much do the country abroad like America help? Because sometimes we always like to depend on what people can do for us, but I've learned to work hard, and then some people can help. So how much do they help you, the community, the doctors, the nurses, team up to make sure that this dream comes true? And how much resources do you get from America? You know, because we're always looking for other people to help us. How much do your people help you to attend this dream?
Let me take that question as well so that I can. There's a question here.
What would you, if someone asks you, what is the most
effective and needed piece of equipment in a village clinic or self-contained hospital, if someone were to donate something to you, moderately priced, what would be your greatest, your first request?
Let me have the other one as well. Let's take all the questions so that, yeah.
Yes. I have two things to say. The guy from Ghana talked about Nkrumah and the vision to be united in Africa. The bottom line is this. They already have that vision. They have ECOWAS. They have OAU, Organization of African Union, okay? But as long as Africans continue to take the money from the World Bank, they will continue to be in slavery. Nigerian economy is being messed up because of the money they are taking from the outside world. Because those things are designed. After you take the money, then they will come in and devalue your money. You take in a dollar, you pay back $10. You know, that is where the foolishness is. And until they get away from that, they are going to continue to remain poor. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing that I want to tell you is this. You mentioned, and I've been to Uganda, you mentioned that there are 88% that are Christians. I need you to requalify that. Because some of those that you call Christians are truly not Christians. In Azinge 3, I was able to lead the, don't know what they call them, but it is the head of the Catholic Church. In that particular community, I led him to Christ. And the reason I led him to Christ was not because he had not heard the name of Christ. He is the one who's been leading the church there. But he says, I've never heard the story the way you said it. And I never connected it the way you connect it. Yeah. You know? So yes. It's a lot of people that read the Bible, but that doesn't mean that they know Christ. They know of him, but they don't always know him. Thank you.
So let me just start here. Christ in us is the hope of glory. That's our bottom line. For me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in business, banking, the hope of glory. Christ in religion, in culture, the hope of glory. And as more of us increasingly correct our doctrine, so the question about are these people, I use the word 88% by the national statistics. In the eyes of God, the Bible says that God knows those who are his. Let whoever names the name of Jesus depart from sin. So I will leave that to God. And I could say, when you look at the statistic, just to answer your question, and realistic, about 9% of the population would self-identify as evangelical. Now, some of those are in the Anglican Church. Some of those are in the Catholic Church. Some of them are in the Pentecostal Church. Most of them, the majority, are Pentecostals. But again, I believe that out of every tribe, out of every nation, God is calling his people. So our bishop, an Anglican bishop, was had a retreat for bishops and made an altar call, and they came to Christ. So I will leave that to God. and I would say that as a minister myself, the gospel must be preached. The call to Jesus. Many times we invite people to the church, but not to Christ. So it's a call upon all of us, and God continues to work in us to make us new, to renew his church around the world, and to renew the communities in which we are. And that's why I want to thank my brothers from Africa. That's why the gospel has to be preached. And the gospel must continue to be preached. And for us, medical missions is we have to have the mission in the medical. So that's important to us. How much of our resources are locally contributed. It depends on the definition of resources. If I define resources purely as cash, in some of the projects we do, it's almost 99% Western funding. If I define resources and I put a number of finances to the volunteerism, okay, if I put my value on Wayne's Medical Center for its true dollar value, it will trump any donations that are coming in. So we need to be careful what we are defining as resources or how we put down ourselves and say we're not contributing. When a pastor gives his time and has left his garden to come and do missions, if I was to put that in dollar value, so I would say, how do we define resources? And how also do we define church? Because when a Western partner gives me support, I'm not seeing a Western partner. I'm seeing the church. I'm seeing the church at work in the community. I'm seeing the body of Christ around the world coming together. Paul wrote to the believers in Jerusalem, in Philippians, and said, thank you for the support for the believers in Jerusalem. So I would say to us that our doctrine, our worldview should be Christian, and that helps us define solutions for the society that we have. In government and politics, how are we raising people and encouraging people to stand and be? It's not an easy place. You know, let me not go there, but as a Christian standing, even that Christian who is trying to stand and still win an election, because in our part of the world, it's all over the world, money wins elections. Okay? Thank you for voting, but it's money. That's the world, okay? God did not define democracy. He's actually a theocrat. So he's not a democrat, okay? So that's the world in which we are. Are we going to say that's the world? No. If a Christian gets in there, support them, pray for them, encourage them. And even if it's not a Christian, pray for him. So in government, one of my brothers said the young generation, ultimately, it's the gospel. Whether young or old, it's the gospel. It's Jesus being preached. Change the world. What is that piece of equipment that could change? I would say it is going where, to be used by who, in what context. So a conversation is important to come to what is best for any community. I have taken donations and not been able to use them. It has happened to me. You know, I take this ophthalmoscope, I know there's a doctor somewhere, I know there's a physician assistant somewhere, I'm hoping I can get them, I've had a conversation with them, and then I go back to them and they say, no, I have to go back to school. And the other one says, you know, I've started my own, so I don't have these two, and I have this equipment. And I have a donor saying, he took my money, where is it starting? So I would say it's important to enter into a conversation. We have put a microscope, the basic instrument, in a rural community where no laboratory technician wants to work. So I would say that, you put something somewhere, but there's no trained person. Or the trained person is available, but the people can't afford it. So it's relationships are important. They help you stay long enough with the gift that you want to give and still give it. I will tell you, as an individual, I would want to grab your interest while it's still hot before you go on, right? When you get out of this room and you have something to give, there are 1,000 places to give. We know it. So I would want to take it while you're still with me. May God help us that when we are the church, and we are in relationship, we can bring this conversation to the best place it should be.